shall come, or shouts of acclamation. Take me home, oh, my joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, oh, my God, have raised up a heart and saved my
yesterday, today, and forever, no matter what's going on in our world. You are still great and mighty. You are the Creator, the one true God. You are holy and you are worthy. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we worship you today. And your name that is above every name is the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord of glory, the Creator, our God who came in the flesh and died on the cross and rose from the dead. You are the answer to the sinful hearts of mankind. Doesn't matter what race. We come to you this morning, Father, and we pray for your anointing. We ask you to give us your understanding as we look at the scriptures. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let us understand and discern the times that we live in and what we ought to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome everyone. We have a little problem here. Let's get that straightened out. Welcome those listening by Blog Talk, Radio, MixLR, Facebook Live, however you may be listening or watching this morning. We welcome you. I've entitled today the summer summer of chaos. There's reasons behind that, but before we dig into this morning, because I am going to get into what happened in Dallas, Texas this past week, and what is transpiring over the summer. The Lord, over the last several years, people have shared prophetic dreams and visions, words from the Lord with us from all over the country. I mean, from different places, people from different church backgrounds, Pentecostals, Baptists, just all kind of different people. God has been warning us about what would be going on. And I believe now that through several of the prophetic dreams that have been shared with us over the years and some things, the dreams that I've had and some things, I believe God is beginning to show us that the warnings he's been giving over the last several years, that we are now moving into that time that he has warned us about. See, part of walking with God and part of being a Christian that hears the voice of the Lord and discerns what the Spirit is saying to the church is part of that's discerning the time and season that you live. It's vitally important to understand not just what God's Word says, but to discern and perceive the time and the season. I want to lay a foundation because, again, we have new listeners and people all the time. But I want you to go with me first and foremost to Acts chapter 2. I want to reread this because I'm going to be sharing a lot of prophetic dreams and visions this morning from different people. Some came to us over the last few years, some in the last week. Acts chapter 2 first. And I talked about this last week, that true Christians, born-again Christians, should be able to hear the voice of God. And the Lord speaks through, he can speak through dreams, he can speak through visions, he can speak through his still small voice inside of us, he can speak to us directly through the scriptures, make it leap off the page, he can speak through someone else. In fact, I've had the Lord speak to me through a child. It doesn't have to be, the Lord can even speak through somebody who's not even a Christian. He can speak through anybody to you. You just have to be in tune and discern when God is speaking. That's probably one of the biggest problems within the church world is not that God is not speaking, it's that most of his people aren't listening. They're not hearing, they're not perceiving, they're not discerning what he's saying. Acts chapter 2, we'll lay this out again. Again, I say this because there's great segments of the church world that thinks that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ended in the first century or when the Bible was canonized or finished. And again, that's ridiculous. There's not one passage of Scripture to say that. In fact, this passage tells us that the gift of prophecy and particularly prophetic dreams and visions would continue all the way to the end, all the way into the last days in which we're living. So Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read it again, even though I read it last week. The Apostle Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he speaks this word from the book of Joel, from the prophet Joel in verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor or pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable or terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he declares Jesus to them. Now, I want you to see that. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I'm going to keep repeating this. The word prophesy does not just mean to edify and encourage and exhort. There's a whole segment of the church world that teaches that prophesying is simply preaching the Bible. But I have news for you. That's not the definition of the word in the Greek dictionary or in the lexicon. The word in the Greek means to speak by inspiration of God. It means God moves upon you, the Holy Spirit moves upon you, and God himself speaks or reveals something in a vision, in a dream, in a prophetic utterance, but it's supernatural. It's an encounter with God. It's a move of the Holy Ghost. It's not just preaching. It's not just teaching the scriptures. Anybody can get up and preach or teach. It does not mean they're prophesying. It's a completely different word. Okay? The word preach in the Bible means to proclaim. Right? The word teach means to instruct in the scriptures. But prophesying is a completely different thing. And it means to speak by inspiration of God, that God is moving upon you. He's either speaking to you or speaking through you right now, revealing something he wants you to know or he wants people around you to know. So it's inspired. But also the word in the Greek dictionary and in the lexicon, prophesying means to foretell something that's going to happen in the future. It is part of the word. I know there's even many in the charismatic church and the Pentecostal church that try to teach that prophesying has nothing to do with foretelling events. Well, I'm sorry, but you're wrong, because it's the very definition of the word, right? And here we're told that in the last days, your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Dream dreams, have visions. And people get laugh here because they say you're young. It says, you know, you're old men, you're men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you got to be old and gray-headed. I mean, some of your young believers and maybe your more mature believers as well, not just physical age, but spiritual. But God gives dreams. He gives visions. And in fact, it's very important that you pay attention to them, okay, and write them down. I'm bad. There's some that I've had I haven't written down over the last few years. I wish I had now. I want to show you something else about dreams. I mean, we could talk about God warning Joseph in a dream to take Jesus and Mary down into Egypt. The wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. I mean, over and over and over again. I want you to go to Genesis 41. Show you another principle about prophetic dreams. Everybody going to Genesis 41? And I'm not going to read this whole thing. This is when God gave Pharaoh, I mean, think about it. God gave an unsaved, pagan, you know, false God-worshipping king of Egypt, Pharaoh, a dream about what was going to happen in the whole region, in the whole area there. God gave him this dream and said, basically showed him there's going to be a famine. Now, let me find my verse I'm trying to get to here. Because I just lost my spot here. Oh, no wonder. I'm jumping over to 42, and I'm supposed to be in 41. I'm trying to find it. I'm sorry. This one wasn't planned here. Okay, here we go. We go over, and this is Joseph interpreting the dream, in verse 32. And this is what he says. Because Pharaoh had the dream two different ways. Twice, same, basically the same dream, two times. And he says, for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Do you see that? Anybody ever have dreams, you know, from the Lord, and they seem to keep repeating themselves? Anybody ever had that happen? I have. I had one about nuclear war hitting America when I was 16 years old, and I had that dream twice. Now, you say 16 years old, that's a long time ago, Pastor Dean. Well, in God's economy of time, if it happens in my lifetime, it's still not a long time, is it? Right? In fact, when God called me, I'll say this, and I believe this is something that I just know personally. When God called me to the ministry and called me to be a prophet and a pastor and a teacher when I was 19 years old, he used Jeremiah chapter 1. In fact, the way God spoke it to me, I was reading Jeremiah chapter 1 one night. I just opened to it and I started reading it, and the Holy Spirit came all over me in such power that I was overwhelmed, and the Lord began to speak to me through those scriptures. They came off the page. And he told me, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. They will fight against you. He said, but you speak what I tell you to speak. And so I've always identified with Jeremiah, the prophet, as, you know, an example, a role model. And one of the, what was interesting is God began to give him the prophetic words of judgment coming on Israel and coming on Jerusalem and on the people of God when he was a young man. Now, it didn't happen until he was an older man, but it happened in his lifetime. God began to speak to me about the end times and about what would happen in my lifetime back when I was 19 and 20 years old. Right, I'm 48 now. We are moving into that time period. I just know that just from what God has revealed to me since 1987 when I rededicated my life and answered the call to the ministry. Right? But things are heating up. Now, everybody knows what just happened in Dallas, Texas this past week, the shooting, right? I'm not going to get into all the ramification of that, but I do want to say this. The Lord spoke very, very clear to me, and this was a prophetic word in December of 2015, and he gave me one word for the year of 2016, and he said chaos. Now, he didn't go into a lot of explanation about what all that entailed, but I had a good sense in my heart what it meant and what some of it would be. And I felt some of it would be Islamic terrorism. I felt some of it would be economic difficulties. But I felt that there was going to be a lot of things that would happen that would begin to create disorder and chaos to the point of trying to push us, particularly America, toward a state of police emergency, martial law, and that we would, whether I didn't have a clear word that we would get to that point this year, but there would be a lot of chaos created, okay? Now, what's blowing my mind, of course, is as I've shared, Fox News, as we got into the year, we got into January and February, and Donald Trump began to shake things up in the political realm, the chaos that began to take place at some of his meetings, and they were even putting up, you know, things on the news, campaign chaos. I thought, well, this word is starting to be used a lot, right? Of course, then, not too long ago, we had shooting in Orlando. And I mean, it looks like it's about once a month now, isn't it? It's like they're coming faster, back to back. But this thing in Dallas, Texas, and I'm not even going to get into, was it the government? Probably. Was it an MK Ultra person? Probably. Were there multiple shooters? I think they are, but they pinned it on, whenever they pinned it on one guy, and there's all these witnesses saying there were multiple shooters, and usually it gets pinned on one guy, it's a conspiracy, not a conspiracy theory. It usually is. We know there were multiple shooters of JFK, but it got pinned on one guy, didn't it? All right? Matter of fact, bullets were coming from everywhere. Poor JFK. They were going to make sure he was dead. But they pinned it on one magic bullet that made all these holes in him. Right? Don't tell me about conspiracy theories. There are real conspiracies. Right? But there's been a lot of things that have been shared. And I just felt like when I saw that, in fact, let's just play the video real quick. I took this with my phone just from Fox News yesterday or the day before. Well, let's just watch this video for a second. Tell me if this looks like chaos to you.
have more breaking news as 12 police officers and two bystanders are gunned down after multiple snipers believed to have opened fire during a peaceful protest in Dallas, Texas last evening about 8:45.
I wanted to show you that just to get a little illustration. It's only going to get worse in the days ahead. And let me just say this up front. The Bible says this, and you can put those definitions up that I sent you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Now, Jesus said it would be like the days of Noah in Matthew 24. We're going to look at verse 7 here for a second. But in the later part, matter of fact, over in Matthew 24, verse 37, Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Well, the days of Noah, if you go back and read Genesis chapter 6, one of the things that it says that there would be violence, that violence filled the earth, and that men's thoughts were only evil continually. That was one of the signs of the days of Noah, not just the Nephilim and the giants and all that. It's even all of this is connected, right? But violence. I don't think I've ever seen a time. Let's look at the rise of ISIS and militant Islam and Hezbollah and al-Nusra and Boko Haram and all these different militant, violent Islamic groups. Now we've got the new Black Panther Party. But most of you don't even know this, that Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, he called for just hours before this event in Dallas happened, he called basically for black men to rise up and start killing people. He did. It's on video. I watched it. Folks, we are getting played. We're really getting played. Let me just say this about race as I show you this passage in Scripture, because the Bible foretold, Jesus foretold that we would see race rise up against race in the last days, that would be one of the problems. But I find it funny. Racism is a funny thing, and I'm going to tell you why. I say funny. It's a terrible thing, but it's just how we go there, I don't get it, right? Because guess what, folks? Evil has been done by every race. The white race, the black race, the Asian race, right? The Latin race. You understand what I'm saying? Every race, the Chinese, the Russians, right? The Arabs. Every race has committed sins and atrocities and murder and violence and rape toward the other, right? Every race has committed sins. And evil sins, sins that bring hurt. Slavery, I know, slavery and the mistreatment of African Americans, I know, that was terrible. It was terrible, it was wrong, right? But every single race has killed people, raped people, stolen from people of other races. So see, I want us to get an understanding of something. It really is not about race. It never, ever will be. Now, I know this guy says, this guy that shot these cops said he wanted to kill white people and said he wanted, especially white police officers. Right? But really deep down in him was the spirit of murder. That's really what it is. Hatred and murder. And it's a sin problem. It's a sin problem, not a race problem. Race is an excuse. Right? Let me tell you, I've never wanted to harm one of my black brothers. Never wanted to harm one. But let me tell you what I don't like. I don't like white meth heads that want to rob from me. I don't like black thugs that want to rob from me. I don't like Chinese that want to come in, communists, and take over our country. I don't. You get what I'm saying? I don't like certain things. It's I don't like sin. I don't like evil. I don't like crime. I don't like. I don't care if it's a Chinese soldier or a thug black guy or a meth head white guy or a drug dealer. I don't care. I don't like crime, hatred, and evil, and people want to do me harm. I don't care what your race is. Amen? And we just need to, we just need to get this out of our head. Not all African Americans are bad. Not all white people are bad. Not all Chinese people are bad. You know what I'm saying? We've got to stop it. Right? And we got groups right now on both sides of this thing. You got white groups and black groups that are calling for a race war. We don't want to. Who wants that? White, black, yellow, brown, Asian, non-Asian. Most of us have children and homes, and we just want to go to our job, pay our bills, raise our kids, and try to, you know, live a decent life. And I'm going to tell you, we got a bunch of troublemakers out there. And there's white troublemakers like George Soros, the globalist elite that are manipulating and using the crazy teachings of Islam and stirring up the Muslims and using them. And now they're using these movements like Black Lives Matter and all these others. They're stirring them up and using them. But we just got troublemakers, and they come in all races. But we better get a hold of this one thing. They are trying to divide us by race so that they can have an excuse to come in here with UN control and troops from other nations and subdue this thing. They want, let me tell you, the evil globalist elite powers that be in our government, both white and black, Russian, Asian, whatever you want to say, they want America divided by race so they can conquer us. That's it. I got news for you. Let me just say this. Guess what? I'm going to shock everybody here. We all are the same skin color. Y'all hear what? Hold on now. We all have the same skin color in us as one skin pigment, period. It's like say there's one crayon in your crayon box, one crayon. Well, you know, it's called melanin, right? And some of us have more than others, but it's the same crayon, right? When we bleed, it's red. God said he made us all of one family. We're all of one family, one blood. It's real simple. But I got news. I don't care if it's a white supremacist group or Louis Farrakhan, I got news for you. Bible says you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. The way you live, you want to go out murdering people that didn't do anything to you? You're going to get murdered. You're going to reap what you sow. And I got news for all of you. I don't care, white, black, Asian, anybody else. Listen to me. The Bible is clear. 1 John 3 is clear. If you have hatred in your heart towards someone else. Now, hatred in the Bible is simply defined as that you have ill will. You don't like somebody so bad and you hope bad comes to them, or you want to bring harm or bad to them. That's hatred. And the Bible says that if you have hatred in your heart like that, you want to bring harm to someone else just simply because you don't like them for some reason. It says if you have that hatred in you, you are a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. Hatred leads to murder, but the Bible says even if you don't commit murder, but you contain, you harbor hatred in you, you are a murderer and you will not die and go to heaven. So if you hate black people, or you hate white people, or you hate Asian people, or you hate, you know, Latin people, or you hate whatever, if you hate them because of their skin color, or you hate them for any other reason, if you desire bad things to happen to them, then you are a murderer and eternal life will not abide in you. It's real simple. And we're going to have in the days ahead, listen, the Bible foretold that because iniquity would abound, Jesus said because iniquity or sin and injustice would abound, the love of many would grow cold. Well, what happens when love grows cold and love goes out the door? It's replaced by something. It's replaced by hatred. You can't love somebody and hate them at the same time. You cannot do it, right? Ah, this stuff about race is ridiculous. But here's it does say it in the Bible. Put it up. When it says here, Matthew 24:7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. These are the beginning of sorrows, verse 8 says. Notice it says nations. Put it up there. Ethnos. Here it is, and from my Greek dictionary. Ethnos. What's the definition of the Greek word ethnos? It would be like our word ethnic or ethnicity. Race. A race. So literally Jesus said one of the signs that we would be in the end times would be race against race. But I got news for you. If you're in that battle and you're on race against race, you are not on Jesus' side. You're part of the problem, right? And see here, nation is different. He says nation against, he said nation against nation. He said kingdom against kingdom. The word kingdom is different. Kingdom actually says this. It's basila, whatever. It just means royalty or rule. So this literally means the rulers, the kingdoms, the royalty in the world would be against each other. So it's interesting Jesus made a difference between ethnos, race against race, and kingdom against kingdom. Right? This is a different Greek words. It's important to look up the Greek words, folks. You get so much more depth of understanding of what they were saying in the New Testament. Now, having said all that, I want to go to some dreams, some prophetic dreams that have been happening. I believe that the chaos has just begun. I can't even imagine after what just happened in Dallas, what these troublemakers are going to try to do in Cleveland and in Philadelphia at the Republican and the Democrat conventions. I'm bracing myself. I hope it doesn't go as bad as it went in Dallas. I just don't see them taking their foot off the accelerator now. Because this was in the hacked phone of the Black Lives Matter leader, two of them talking back and forth, and it was hacked. That they called this, and this just came out in the last few weeks, the summer of chaos. The summer of chaos. They want to create so much chaos that they can stop both Trump and Hillary and keep Obama in office by a declaration of martial law or national emergency. I've shared this. This is the goal. Now, will they succeed at this point? I can't say. No one can say whether they will succeed, but they are pushing this. But there's a bigger picture here. Because whether they fully succeed here in 2016 or not, you have to understand that the ball is now rolling. The ball is rolling to collapse the United States as we know it, to overthrow the Constitution, the First Amendment, a freedom of speech and freedom of the press and freedom of religion. That's going out the window. The Second Amendment, they're after it. Every shooting, some of which I know is sponsored by our own government, is to overthrow the Second Amendment because they don't want us to be able to defend ourselves when they really bring in the overthrow. And let me tell you something, there's a difference between defending your wife and children at your home versus going out shooting cops who had nothing to do with whatever you're angry about. Right? Just evil, man. Just evil. This is a word that I posted on my Facebook. Somebody tagged me in. I don't know this Pastor Bowman, but when I read this prophetic dream that he had, I felt very strongly that I needed to share it. And there's just a whole convergence of dreams, prophetic dreams from the Lord that are pointing to, you better understand that the ball is now rolling down the hill. The snowball is rolling, and it's rolling fast. And it's going to pick up speed, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. And just listen to this. You better get ready. This is a prophetic dream from Pastor Bowman. I can't remember. What was his first name? John? Johnny? I can't remember. He said, I had a dream from the Lord that I feel an urgency to share. Please prayerfully read this and seek the Lord for direction in the coming days. He said, I awoke suddenly in the middle of the night from a shaking dream about what is to come. I believe this is a word from the Lord to let us know what is coming. He says, I was practicing in the military on the range for war. I was shooting with a bunch of others. I was asked what I was shooting at and told the drill instructor I was practicing shooting. He said, okay. I went to an ammo can and grabbed handfuls of ammo and magazines that I knew I needed. I took as much as I could carry. Then the scene shifts. I was in a martial arts studio practicing the art of the stealthy ninja. I changed into my uniform and trained a few times. Then the scene shifts again, and I was in the front of a food truck. I was preparing to stock up on food and even the stuff nobody else wanted because it was important. Then the scene shifts, and I was on stage with a Christian rock band as they were playing music. I heard the stage has been set. I was with a small group of people. We were walking in the shadows on stage, and suddenly the stage prop pieces started moving like the moving Tetris game, and we had to get out of the way so we weren't seen or crushed. I heard the pieces are in motion. Ready to hear this? The stage has been set. The pieces are in motion. The performance continued to go on, but we weren't seen at all. And see, I believe, and Nancy felt the same way, that this Christian rock band, this is a great portion of the church world that Sunday morning is a show. Sunday morning is basically entertainment. It's fancy music, a light show, a little sermonette for Christadets, a little light, you know, Christian light, make you feel little goosebumps, make you feel better about yourself. But I'm going to tell you right now, most, and I say this without, there's no bitterness or jealousy, I'm just telling you, this is the way it is. Most pastors have not adequately prepared their sheep for what is about to hit their lives. They have not prepared them for what is coming down. They have not discerned the times and seasons we're living in. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of sheep going to be cursing these pastors whom they have you know, praised and honored and adored as their spiritual leaders because they have not warned you. And some of you say, well, Pastor Dean, you've been warning us for a few years. And guess what? You better be glad of that because you've had extra time. So, well, Pastor Dean, you've been talking about this since 2008. Yep, and I'll still be talking about it. I don't care if it happens tomorrow or 5 years from now. You understand what I'm saying? The longer you have to prepare and the more you take it seriously and prepare, the better you will be. And I believe what he was talking about here, preparing, he was in a shooting range. He was in a food truck. He was. I believe it's both physical and spiritual. He was, sharpening up on his spiritual warfare and also preparing for the wave of violence that's coming. And I found it interesting. He was preparing to stock up on food, and he said even stuff nobody else wanted because he knew it would be important. So funny that there's been people right now who obviously, I guess they don't discern the times. They've decided that, well, we don't need this extra food and stuff. People have been giving it to us. I'm like, okay, be an idiot. I'll take it. I've tried to warn you. You don't listen. You want to give it to me? I hope you can, hope you do all right. I'll take it. But it just makes me realize, it makes me sad because I know they're not listening. They're not listening to God. They're not listening to anybody. Let me go on. He says, then all of a sudden the scene shift again, and I'm alone outside on the rooftop, and I looked out to sea and noticed some massive waves coming toward the shore. I heard, it's a tsunami. I climbed down the ladder shouting at the people to listen and was able to help some to the top of the roof with me. I heard the president and his staff knew all about this in advance and were in bunkers. When I heard the voice speak that to me, I became upset that they didn't warn everyone in advance and put lives in danger. I immediately shouted to the people below, everyone listen to me because dangerous things are coming. You have to get to higher ground. I was screaming at everyone at the top of my lungs until I couldn't hardly shout anymore because I was losing my voice. I looked to my left out to sea, and the tsunami began crashing into the shore. I noticed that the water was murky color of the Atlantic Ocean. The waves crashed into us, and people that didn't listen were killed and dragged underwater by the waves. People I knew well were killed right in front of me because they didn't listen. There's a whole lot of people that have been warned. They've heard the warnings, some from me, some from you. They're doing nothing. He says, people I knew well were killed right in front of me because they didn't listen. I climbed down the ladder, warning everyone, please get to higher ground, it's not over. The people that survived the first wave were staggering out in the streets and walking around in a daze. I said, I warned you this would happen. And you didn't listen to me. Please get to higher ground. It's not over. Now, I believe this higher ground is not just in the physical. I believe for some people on the East and West Coast, it's literal. But I'm telling you, I believe you got to go to higher ground. It's talking about getting up with God, getting closer to God, climbing the mountain of God through prayer and fasting and repentance of sin, and drawing nearer to him. Let me tell you, knowing the Lord and being where you need to be with him in that secret place, that is the highest and best possible ground to be on. Amen? So he tells everybody, get to higher ground, it's not over. The people that survived the first wave were staggering out in the streets, walking around in a daze. I said, I warned you this would happen, and you didn't listen to me. Please get to higher ground. It's not over. Please listen and get to higher ground, or more people will die. It's not over. I felt a small wave of water roll over my feet, and I looked out over the ocean again, and it was a second wave, bigger and more massive than the first. Now listen closely. I climbed up on the roof, and I looked out at the water, which was a deep royal blue color. I saw these massive land masses that looked like continents about to crash into this country. And as they got closer, the images took shape of several aircraft carriers with green helicopters taking off, heading toward land. I heard, "The invasion has begun." I screamed at the people again, "Get to safety. We are being invaded." But they didn't listen. I said to the people I had with me, "We have to go right now." We climbed down the ladder and began our journey to safety as God led us underground. I heard the voice of a pastor that I know preaching a sermon. He was telling and warning everyone about what is coming. He was preaching the gospel quietly with a paper flip chart, even though we were under attack and were underground in the tunnels. I heard grenades exploding, and I saw them being thrown by a foreign army. We were in tunnels going where the Lord said, and I heard, "Only the ones who pray and hear my voice and go where I say, when I say it, will make it through the coming days." Y'all hear that? I felt very strongly to share that because I'm telling you, there are some people not listening. They're not preparing themselves spiritually. They're not drawing close to the Lord. Right now, listen, right now is not a time to be fooling around on God. I think about some people that I know right now. Oh, I've tried to warn for several years, and they're still fooling around with drugs. A few years ago, I had a dream about a Christian couple, and I had this dream, and I won't go into it, but that very thing is happening in their lives right now. And my thoughts are, why are you fooling around on God right now? It shows you have no discernment of the time and season we're living in. This is not a time to keep fooling around with drugs, with alcohol, with adultery, with sexual immorality. This is just not the time for it. This is the time to draw near to God as you can and begin to learn to hear his voice so you will be able to make it through what is coming. James Bowden, that's right, the pastor that I just read that word. Now here's some other interesting ones, and I'm going to share this with you. Several years ago, a friend of Nancy's, she actually made our wedding cakes for us. And I won't go into all the details of her dream, but it was very interesting because, and I'm going to break this down, and you got that, you got one of those ready? The BFG? Just play the regular trailer. I'll just share it. But what was interesting is, she had this dream. Now, you have to remember, this friend of Nancy's, she was not going to a church that preached end-time Bible prophecy. They didn't even preach against sin. They were actually, I think, in the church that was beginning to be okay with homosexuality as well, right? So this is not something that she was hearing preached or she was hearing warnings or she was even thinking about, but she began to have this dream, and I'll read part of it. I'm not going to read all of it. But she began to have this dream, and at the end, the Lord began to speak to her. And what the Lord began to tell her was bad, bad things are coming. Now, why is this important? Because in the dream, she dreams, and it's a peculiar thing, because she begins to dream about a giant. And a giant who would go meet with the Queen of England. So this is in her dream. Well, guess what just came out? Or it's coming out this summer, or either this month or next month, a movie called BFG, The Big Friendly Giant. And in the movie, the giant goes to meet with the Queen of England. So let me tell you something about this dream that was probably back in 2013 from Nancy's friend. The Lord was warning, bad, bad things are coming, they're going to happen. And this dream was all in this story of this big giant who was meeting with the Queen of England. No one knew that this movie was coming. I'd never heard of this movie until recently. Let's play this. Just play the trailer, the BFG. Which also connects us to the days of Noah, the giants.
There's only one word for that, Magister. Scrum diddly umptious.
Hold on, we'll let you just play the regular trailer for them. Just let them see this. A lot of people hadn't seen it. That's all right.
It was the witching hour when the boogeyman comes out. The girls say the witching hour arrives at midnight. I think it comes at 3 in the morning when I'm the only one left awake, like now.
Here's your lonely heart. Are you hearing all the secret whisperings of the world? Run, Sophie. Hide.
Does you have any super?
I couldn't remember. But isn't that interesting? 3 years ago, she has this dream. Bad times, really bad times. Bad things are coming. Now we have the summer of chaos coming upon us. Here's another one. This is a dream from another friend. Now this one, this lady's Baptist. She's not even Pentecostal or charismatic. She's not even into any of this dream, vision, or anything else. Her dream was in 2013 as well. Let me share this with you. 2013. She says, well, I was reading that dream you posted. Nancy posted one. She said, it made me think about a dream I had 3 years ago. It seemed in my dream that I was standing on top of a mountain overlooking a valley, and there were jet planes flying back and forth. There were many of them. Then something like lightning was falling from the sky, but it would explode when it impacted the ground. I thought they may have been bombs. It was awful. Then when I turned around, I was in a house, and there was a mess everywhere. I felt like it was my home. The fridge was open, and the food was rotting. The sink was full of dishes, and there was rotting food all over. In the other room, my family was around a table, and kids were doing drugs, and my husband looked hopeless. I was screaming, but no one could hear me. There was just no hope. I have had the dream about the planes twice since then. My mom said it was prophetic, but 3 years ago I just shrugged it off. But each time it repeats, it feels like end time stuff. And then she's talking about the picture. And I thought about this often. Here, God is trying to warn. How prepared are we? Are we really prepared? I want to give you a few scriptures before we close. I mean, there's several more I could share. The fact that the Lord gave me the dream about the bears, and just in the past 2 weeks we've had bears running around Opelika, black bears, and I had dreams about that. It's all pointing to, and I'm just trying to tell you, it's all pointing to all these different dreams from these different people from even years ago are all pointing to this same time period right now. So there's not time to waste. There's not time to waste to pray. There's not time to waste to fast. There's not time to waste to get in your Bible, get close to God. There's not time to waste in preparing extra food, water, all the stuff you need to be preparing. I'm going to keep pounding it. You know why I'm going to keep pounding it? Because here, I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. I don't know what your pastors out there have told you. If they've told you that you're going to be raptured out of here before this bad stuff hits, that you're going to, Jesus is going to take you out secretly in this pre-tribulation rapture, they've lied to you. Now, they may not have done it intentionally because they actually believe it in their heart, but I'm telling you, it's a lie. You're going to be here. Ezekiel chapter 33. Actually, we're going to read two passages in Ezekiel, and then we're going to close for the day. And then, you know, I'm a Pentecostal preacher, so I'm allowed 3 or 4 closings. All right. Everybody in Ezekiel 33. Verse 1. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man out of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and he took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. I'm telling you, folks, you better listen to me. You better listen closely, especially if you're pastors out there and preachers, ministers. If you haven't been warning people about the sword that's coming, about the famine that's coming, about the persecution that's coming, about the mark of the beast that's coming. If you haven't warned them thoroughly and repeatedly, blood will be on your hands. It's time to repent and quit playing this American church game. Church is not supposed to be about making people feel good. It's supposed to be about equipping them with the truth. Whether it's pleasant or not. Christianity is not a popularity contest. It's not a rock show. It's the manifestation of the truth of the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit is saying and what we need to be doing. The prophet Agabus in Acts chapter 10 and 11, the prophet Agabus stood up in the midst of the church in Jerusalem and he said there's going to be a great famine on the land. And it said they knew it was the word of the Lord, and they began to prepare for the famine. Some people, I mean, I've had people say, well, I don't know, you know, we'll just see what happens. And I'm like, you know, Noah was warned of God, and he built the ark and saved his family. Joseph received the prophetic dream from Pharaoh and began to store up grain for 7 years to prepare for the famine. No, folks, if God's warned you and you haven't made any preparations, you haven't done anything you need to do, don't think it's all going to just, God's going to just come down and make it all okay for you. He says, go look at the ant. The ant prepares for the winter and the summer. Look at all the little squirrels. They run around, and what are they doing? They're gathering up their food for the winter. It's like, goodness, look at the ant. Look at the squirrel. We think Walmart's always going to be ready for us. No, Walmart's going to be a detention center here in the days ahead. You're going to walk in there and not walk out. And there are people right now that will laugh. It's going to happen. Walmart's going to be your mark of the beast center. Or you disappear. Better have your own. Day's coming, the Lord will say, do not go there. You get wind. Oh, the military, the government's handing out food and water. Don't go. You might not come back. They might decide you will be better off in a FEMA camp where they can take care of you in this difficult time. But I need my meds. I need my Adderall. I need my lithium. I need my whatever, Zoloft. You better get Jesus. Amen? But the day's coming, folks. We're not going to depend on, not going to be able to, Christians anyway. Unless you take the mark of the beast and you're willing to submit to the system, you're not going to be able to go to the pharmacy. You're not going to be able to go to the doctor. You're not going to be able to go to the grocery store. Warning, warning, warning. I'm telling you, some of you may even in here be looking at me like I'm crazy. You've been doing this. You've been doing this over and over, Pastor. Yes. Because you know what? I know I'm going to stand before God one day. And I'm going to give an account. And I will not, God will not be able to look at me and say, you did not prepare my people for what was coming. You did not warn them. You did not prepare them. I will not have your blood on my hands. Will not. Most of you in here who have listened, a lot of you out there have listened. Some of you haven't, though. But here's the other passage from Ezekiel. I want everybody to go to Ezekiel chapter 12. This is what some people say here. This is not going to happen for a long time. Right? Ezekiel chapter 12. This will be my final passage. Verse 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but saying that the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, and it shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say a word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. This morning when I was getting ready for this, the Lord brought this to my mind, and he said, it's over. This thing, this idea, all of this is, we've got plenty of time. This has been prolonged. These visions are for many days. No, that's over with. That's over. It is upon you. Believe it or not, like it or not, the time that Jesus warned us about, the great tribulation, is now upon us. I don't know when it will officially begin, the last 7 years, but I can tell you, I can sense it's like a breath of way. We are in the beginning of sorrows. The Lord told me the beginning of sorrows began in 2014. And those sorrows are birth pains, and they have been increasing. And everything you see in that, large earthquakes doubled in the first 3 months of 2014 alone. ISIS came to power and took over Iraq and Syria, part of Syria and parts of Iraq, and began massacring Christians across the Middle East, 2014. Russia moved in and took Crimea and then moved into the Middle East shortly thereafter. 2014, everything began to change. Here we are. more mass shootings under President Obama than the last four or five presidents put together. Most of it government sponsored to escalate this thing. What happens with birth pains, folks? Birth pains only get more intense and more frequent, right? Look, we had San Bernardino, then boom, we had Orlando, now boom, Dallas. The worst attack on U.S. law enforcement since 9/11. The worst mass shooting in U.S. history, Orlando. Though there's questions now about whether Orlando was even real, just like Sandy Hook. There's a lot of issues about who really died and who didn't. Just know this. Satan is the master at playing these games. I don't know. I mean, he'll go to great lengths. Don't get me wrong. You see, anybody ever saw the beginning of Jack Reacher, you understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes they'll do a mass shooting just to kill one person, but to cover it up. They brought down a whole airliner, the Russians did, to get one congressman who was probably going to be the president of the United States at some point. They shot down and killed 200-something people on the airliner just to kill him. Don't tell me they won't do it. These evil people don't care about life. They care about power. Don't be fooled. It's not about race. It's about taking over the United States. You know, I thought that the evil globalists might assassinate even their good buddy, their Obama, to even foment a race war. Assassinate him, blame it on a white guy. What do you got? I mean, I don't put anything past these people. They killed JFK. They put a bullet in Ronald Reagan. I mean, I believe the same evil globalist people assassinated Bobby Kennedy, they assassinated Martin Luther King. They're evil. If you're not part of their club and the agenda and you start making too many waves, and you are going to be bye-bye. They couldn't believe Reagan survived. I don't put anything past them. So, all I can say is, according to what the Bible says, according to what Jesus said, things are not going to de-escalate or get more peaceful or somehow this stuff's going to stop. What you have to decide, though, if you're going to be a peacemaker to the best of your ability. Now, I thought about these people. I think your dad just posted a video. I mean, this was several weeks or months back. I think there was a Black Lives Matter march. I think it was in Atlanta or somewhere. And they're sitting there about, you know, talking about the police. You know, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. And I'm just sitting there going, really? Is this what we're doing now? Do we have bad cops? Yes, we have some bad cops. Do we have some bad politicians? Yes. Should we go out and kill them all? No. That is not the answer to this problem, right? We got people advocating violence. You got to decide, am I going to truly, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Inciting violence is not being a peacemaker. Right? Black or white, Russian or Chinese, it doesn't matter. We've got to stop it. And I'll say this. The only way some of these people are going to be saved out of this hatred is to see us loving each other. White, brown, yellow, all in between. And see us pointing out the truth that it's not. Yeah. Have some African American people been killed unjustly by cops? Yes. Have some white people been killed unjustly by cops? Yes. Yes. There's some bad cops. There's some cops that get in a situation and make a bad decision. But I also watched a long video yesterday of cops getting shot and killed at traffic stop. And yes, white guy's getting out of a car and shoot the cop. And black guy's getting out of the car and shoot the cop. My uncle was a cop. He got shot. Cops, I don't know how they do the job. And I'm talking about decent ones. Black, white, I don't know how they do it. How they walk up to a car, you know, car after car, traffic stop after traffic stop, how they walk up to each car, and they don't know who's going to pull out a gun, boom, boom, boom. One of my friends I grew up with, his dad was a cop in this town, shot and killed. He grew up without his dad. So it's not F the police. It's ridiculous. They're not all bad guys, right? Most of them, it's like I told Kevin. I said, you know, most of the guys around, most of the cops, city cops, local sheriffs, you know, their families live in the community. Their children go to school here. They're invested, what I'm saying. They want peace. They want to be able to raise their kids. They want to be able to go home at night too. Now, I don't like, that's why we want to keep the federal officers out of our business in local. They're not invested in the community. You get what I'm saying? And there's good federal officers and there's bad ones. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, look, that's why I like local sheriffs, local cops. Love them. Pray for them. Most of them are no different than me and you, no matter what color they are. They do a very dangerous job every day, and it's getting worse for them. But see, think about it. It's a vicious cycle now. So some bad cops get people angry at them. So then the angry people start shooting at the cops or fighting the cops. So then the cops, when they start walking up the car, they're more freaked out. So it's just fueling this thing. It's like this vicious circle. It's just fueling. Folks, there's some evil people out there that want to stir this up. The fact this guy had a military background is very interesting to me. If y'all don't know what MKUltra is out there, you better look it up and learn. All right? The answer, folks, and here's the thing. Don't go get me wrong. I believe we're going to see some people, black, white, Asian, people who hate each other, people who are angry at each other, people who don't trust each other. I believe we're going to see a lot of people get saved. I really do. Because Jesus is the answer to that. And let me say one more thing. Jesus is not black, and Jesus is not white. He's brown. He's a Jew. He's right in the middle. Right? I get sick of that one too. I get sick of the pictures of the black Jesus and get sick of the pictures of the ivory white Jesus. Neither one's right. He was Jewish. Exactly. Swear. Psychotic stuff out here about skin color. Psychotic. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray today. We ask you, Lord, to help us begin to see the truth that there are people out there, black, white, Asian, of all races that are evil, and there are many that are not. There's a group of people that want to control the entire world that are following Satan and his plan and know they are, and they're fomenting all this stuff. They're stirring all this stuff up, and they're using pawns. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, you'll help us move to higher ground. You'll help us draw near to you. You'll help us, Lord, have the power, Lord, to be those peacemakers, to lead people to the Prince of Peace, Jesus, to lead people out of hatred, out of racism, out of violence, out of murder, out of drugs, out of alcohol, out of sexual immorality, to come and know you, Lord, to have their sins washed away, to be saved, and to begin to learn how to treat one another. We're going to need some people to be examples in a very violent time, in a very dark time, in a very difficult time. So, Lord, we ask for your grace. We ask for your wisdom. We ask you to prepare us for even greater chaos and craziness in the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Not going to keep you all today. Let's stand. Glad those of you were with us by Blog Talk Radio and Mixlr or MixLR. Somebody please help me find out which one's right. And those of you by Facebook Live. All right. Let's. Trey, would you close us in prayer this morning? If you have, in prayer over the offering, if you have a tithe or offering, just leave it in the basket. Hallelujah. Amen or oh me, right? All right, go ahead, brother.